for my ally is the Force. And the powerful ally it is, life creates it, makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us and binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. You must feel the Force around you. Here, between you, me, the tree, the rock, everywhere.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Bad feeling about this.
Welcome to episode 314 of Blue Harvest. I'm your host, Halls Burkhardt.
And I'm your host, Will Whitney.
And boy, do we have some exciting stuff to talk about this week. We got a Visions trailer almost exactly on schedule, like right around a month before the show premieres. And of course, we've got the season finale of The Bad Batch to talk about. And we're going to hear from you guys, our moisture farmer buddies. It's going to be a good time. Before we jump into all that, buddy, how has your week been? What you been up to?
Oh, it's been all right. Just working around the house, you know.
Doing house stuff, huh?
Doing house cleaning and deep cleaning and reorganizing. And my mom's going to homeschool Liam for this year instead of him going to school because everything's getting so bad. So I had to set up the upstairs room for like a little classroom. I lost my man cave. Now it's a little classroom.
I gotcha. Well, I have noticed something, buddy. I think you might need to go to the doctor.
Why is that?
I believe you caught something from me and Steve.
What is that?
I think you caught a little halo fever.
Oh, probably, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no recovering from that.
I think there's only one cure to get rid of halo fever.
More halo.
More halo.
It's a chronic condition I've been dealing with for a long, long time.
Haloitis.
Yeah, I'm having a flare up.
Yep, just a little bit of a flare up. Yeah, I've been seeing while I'm up late working, I've been seeing you playing a little Halo 5.
Oh yeah.
And then last weekend.
It's so different.
Oh, it is.
We last weekend, you know, I had been looking forward to that Halo play date for a long time. You know, because it took a long time coming, because I hadn't, the Master Chief Collection wasn't installed the previous time, so I didn't get to play. But once I finally did, I remember, Halo, I remember this.
That was a good time. You didn't delete Master Chief for 5, did you?
No. I have a really big external hard drive, but before I got that one, I had to make some choices about what was on there. But since I've got it, I just haven't played Halo 5 or the Master Chief Collection. But no, I haven't. They're both fully loaded on my box.
Perfect. Because, you know, I don't think Nick and Jeff can play 5 with us, unfortunately, because I think it's...
That's sad.
It's not on PC. So we'll definitely play some, but it'll probably have to be me, you, and Steve.
Yeah.
Instead of the full crew.
It is awesome. I mean, I'm just kind of getting back into the swing of it. Like, your brain works a little differently because the Halo 1 through 4 is, it's just different. It's different than that, you know.
Yeah. I got to be honest. We played some Halo 4 towards the end of the night on Saturday night, and that's the first time I've played Halo 4 multiplayer in quite a while, and I was quite enjoying it, but even that took some getting used to.
Absolutely.
I'm so used to three. Three in reach, you know?
Yep.
But, yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time hanging out with everybody. You got to witness or hear some of the late night insanity that happens.
I did.
When we're all playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time.
Absolutely.
So, I haven't been up to too much this week, working. I don't know how it happened, but I pulled off something I never would have thought would happen this week. And I got Jesse into Evangelion.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not that that's she's, you know, opposed to anime. That's just, you know, that one's a little weird. And I started to rewatch it because the fourth of the Rebuild movies came out on Amazon Prime.
Right.
And I was like, well, I want to rewatch the series before I dive in and watch those movies and stuff. So I was sitting there watching it, and like, I noticed the first sign that she was getting into it was the fact that she was watching it and not looking at her phone.
Yeah.
And then like a couple episodes in, she was like, I kind of want to ask you not to watch this without me. Like, to wait.
That's
for
a good sign.
And I was like, oh, I can definitely do that. Don't worry. Because it's not like it's that. It's only 26 episodes. It's not that long of a series. So,
right.
Yeah, been enjoying that fucking weird
that
ride.
Mystery. Oh, are you still in the middle of the ride?
Yeah, we're like 12 or 13 episodes in now.
There will be fallout.
Oh, I know.
Okay. And discussion.
Oh, yeah.
And theory and postulation.
And weird, weird shit.
Yeah.
Gets real weird. Real quick. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so yeah, that's what I have been up to. You know, just doing my thing at work, watching Evangelion and wishing I was playing Halo or Final Fantasy 14. Those have been the two things I've had fucking stuck in my brain lately, are those two games.
Yeah.
So, real quickly, I finished my, you know, immediate reactions to the Bad Batch on Patreon last week after the last episode aired. And then I put up a poll of what people like, because I want to keep doing sort of one of those weekly series like that along with all the other bonus shows we do. And I put up a poll on Patreon asking, because I had mentioned it, like, give me some ideas of what you guys would want to see. And the two most common answers were they wanted to some sort of like show where I discuss catching up on the High Republic stuff or a Star Wars Rebels rewatch. So I put the poll up for both those options and High Republic won out. So I'm going to start that next week.
Nice.
I guess you'll be getting weekly books and comic reports on the High Republic if you're a patron. And to be completely honest, I'm probably going to do both. I'm probably going to do Rebels as well, because I've been wanting to rewatch Rebels, and why not just turn that shit into some content? So that's something you can look forward to if you're a patron. Speaking of which, if you're not, at patreon.com/blueharvestpodcast, you can sign up to be a patron and support the show. For as little as $3 a month, you'll get access to all the bonus shows, like I mentioned. We have the immediate Bad Batch reactions. I did the same thing for Mandalorian Season 2. Those are up there. Star Wars Year by Podcast with our buddy Steele. Masters of Harvest Kasi with King Tom talking about Star Wars video games. Podula Rasa with Emily Lynn talking about good and bad episodes of some of our favorite TV shows. Jaws with Jesse. Cooking with Will. Oh No, It's Hall Solo. Steve versus the Prequels, Blue Harvest Adventures with all our RPG playing buddies, and a whole lot more. So if you're not already a Patreon, or a patron rather, check it out, patreon.com/blueharvestpodcast. And a big shout out to all our patrons. Hey, and while you're at it, follow us on Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Blue Harvest Pod. Mix up the business a little there.
Mix it up.
So, buddy, we got two big things to talk about this week. There's been some smaller stuff. Figure we'll probably save some of that for next week because, you know, there's a little bit of question marks on what exactly we're going to be talking. Oh, actually, next week we'll have the the Disney, what is that thing? Disney Gallery : The Mandalorian or whatever. We're going to have that new episode okay. to talk about next week too. So,
all right.
That's good. But anyways, two big things this week. We got a trailer for Visions and we got the Bad Batch finale. Which one do you want to talk about first, buddy?
Oh, I'm down with either.
Which one do you want to talk?
Let's do the Bad Batch finale and then we'll
pop over to Visions.
Yeah, we'll do the Visions last.
I like this chronological order. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, that's probably what I would have chosen too. So, all right, well, what did you think of the Bad Batch finale?
I thought it was really good. It was intense, honestly. There were a couple seconds there, it was like, somebody's about to die. Things are hairy and somebody's about to die. I don't know who it is. I keep waffling back and forth on who's about to die. And then it gets to the end, and there's a moment there where I think, you know, Crosshair is gonna rejoin the team, but it just ain't so.
Nah.
And it also humanizes Crosshair a little bit, you know, it helps you understand why he made the decisions he did. I don't know. He's still quite obviously a villain.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure he has his chip out.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, we talked about that last week and I have seen some debate about it going on online about whether he actually had his chip removed or not. And, you know, I kind of wondered like, oh, is that going to be, you know, sort of a ongoing mystery, a bit of a like, did or didn't he? Well, on Monday, StarWars.com posted an interview with executive producer Brad Rao and executive producer Jennifer Corbett, who is also the head writer on The Bad Batch. And they were basically just, you know, going over the season and the finale. And they actually brought up the question of, I don't know if you can answer, but I saw on Twitter that fans were debating whether Crosshair really had his chip removed or if the Empire made him think he had his chip removed. Is that something you can comment on? And Jennifer Corbett says, I think we can say that he has had his chip removed. And Brad Rao says, yeah. Have you seen the side of that guy's head? The Eagle Eye fan will rewatch the season and notice the shift in his character and when that is. They probably have seen it all along. So they kind of, in that interview, confirmed that he has, in fact, had his chip removed.
Okay.
And I kind of wonder if he gets injured, right, in that one episode. He gets pretty beat up, and I have a feeling that that's probably when it was after that. So yeah. The dude doesn't have a chip. That is no longer any sort of answer or excuse for any of his actions, right? Like,
right.
If they're confirming it's gone, then that chip's not there anymore.
It may have fried his brain a little bit. You know, didn't they turn it up for a long time, like before they took it out?
Yeah, they never really explained, right, what that whole process was that he was going through in that episode.
And I know you can't really, you know.
Yeah, but that's always what I assumed, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was interesting. But the one thing that I've sort of seen as far as, and obviously this doesn't apply to everybody that might have been sort of disappointed with the finale, but I did see a couple of times people bringing up like nothing big happened or nobody died. And like, I don't know.
I don't need someone to die.
Yeah. I don't know when
emotional weight,
when the expectation that someone had to die for this to be a good season finale happened honestly, I love the season 2 finale of The Mandalorian, but I think in some ways, like it's spoiled us as Star Wars fans where we think every finale has to have like something that level of crazy going on.
I don't know.
Maybe it's the fact that this was, you know, the next thing after that. But, you know, I think we got plenty of surprises and sort of crazy stuff happen in this season and appearances and stuff that you didn't necessarily have to have that in the finale, right? Like, it doesn't always have to be some big crazy surprise moment at the end. And to be honest, like, while it wasn't as bombastic or as, you know, as crazy as Luke showing up, the very last moment of the season finale was pretty interesting to me.
Yeah.
Where they bring, what is it, Nala Se, is that the name of the Kaminoan, to that Imperial facility.
And they talk about, oh, we got work for you.
Yeah. And did you notice that the Imperial scientist that meets her is wearing the same uniform as Dr. Pershing from The Mandalorian?
I did notice that.
Pretty interesting, right?
I imagine she may be the director of the Strand cast.
I just, like, you know, we were talking about it last week. I really do feel like there's a lot of this whole Palpatine contingency plan stuff being woven into different Star Wars stuff at this point. Between Mandalorian Season 2, and I guess you could even say Season 1, and this at the end of Bad Batch and stuff, I think we're seeing a lot of pieces being put into place.
Backfill.
And, you know, like, I think it's a cool way, right, to have the two shows reference each other when, in a lot of cases, it would be kind of tough given how far apart they take place from each other, like over 20 years or whatever.
Like, right.
Maybe over 25 years, The Bad Batch and Mandalorian. So
I think they know where they're heading.
I think,
you know,
so too.
I mean, like, I think they have stories in mind, and they think if they can weave some of those threads through other shows, they have an idea. They're going to do something. They're going to do something in The Mandalorian, and they can weave stuff through it as far back as The Bad Batch, you know?
Yeah, and while it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, they don't have to directly relate to each other, they can have references and little things here and there that tie in, right?
Right. Like, and the Book of Boba.
And the Book of Boba. So
they have an idea where they're going.
I wouldn't necessarily say that they have some super detailed, fully planned out idea, like 100%, but they have
like
an idea.
Phase, but
yeah,
like
they have like at least some sort
direction.
Direction or even outlines or things like that, which is nice. Like it seems like, because I remember like when Star Wars Rebels came out, right? It was in the peak of new Star Wars hype. You know, we're about didn't that come out in 2014? So you're talking like a year before The Force Awakens comes out. And, you know, there was always the question of like, well, will there be some sort of reference or something in Rebels that'll pay off in the Force Awakens and vice versa, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really the closest thing they ever came was like, I guess they showed a cross guard saber once in that one episode, you know?
Right.
And that
also the ghost shows up in the final battle, right?
Well, and it shows up in Rogue One for sure. So, and you know, not that you need to do that. You don't have like, that's not a necessity to make an enjoyable Star Wars story. They don't have to all be super tightly connected. But it's interesting because I do remember people being like, oh, is there going to be some sort of Episode 7 tie-in? Or are they going to relate to each other in any way? And then we're getting stuff now that even though it's not super obvious or in your face, it does seem like it has at least small sort of connections. I think that's kind of neat.
Right.
So,
well, the thing about the Star Wars universe, you know, just because you see a probe droid, you know, that's not necessarily relating to Empire Strikes Back, but because the universe is so big. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
There's so much to draw on and so much to, I don't know, create with, and so much that's already been created to draw from.
Yeah, but like when you're getting down to this whole cloning thing, and then you have people wearing that same thing as Dr. Pershing, like that's a more obvious connection.
I like that they're using the genetic stuff, you know, because if sometimes in old school Star Wars, it felt like, you know, we just saw Luke and the stormtroopers and we're like, what about these clones? And then you finally see the prequels. You're like, oh, so that's what's up with clones. And you're like, did that, nobody messed with that technology anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
That.
It's crazy to think about, like, when we were kids, like that one line about the Clone Wars lit up your fucking imagination. And now, you know, years later, decades later, we have more information. Like, there's not a single question about what the Clone Wars were, who the clones were, what were cloned, etc., etc.
I mean, with every episode of The Bad Batch, you learn more about the cloning process through Omega, you know, her being there through the entire process.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, I thought it was kind of interesting, like, this season finale, the two-parter, felt like, in a lot of ways, the end of the clone era, because not only did they stop production on clones, they completely destroyed
the facility.
And yeah, it just felt like in a lot of ways this season, we've talked about it, like you see a lot of the transition period between the Republic and the Empire. Right.
Yeah, to the Galactic Empire.
And how that's worked out. Like, to see sort of the end of the Clone Wars era with the destruction of Kamino and the closing of the clone program, I thought it was pretty fascinating. And I thought that was a interesting way to take it. And also, I think it sets up some cool stuff for season two. I will say this. I do wonder... And I actually have a personal answer to this myself, because I went back and watched them back to back like they were one big episode. I do think this season finale would have played better as an hour long episode instead of cutting it into two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not that I didn't enjoy the two episodes, but I just feel like it worked better as one episode instead of two.
Yeah.
But, well, you know. Now it doesn't matter. It's all out. Like,
now you can watch them to back to back.
It's no big deal. You could watch every episode of the first season of Bad Batch in one day if you wanted. It's not a big deal at all. I just feel like as far as weekly release and watching it week to week, I think it would have worked better as one episode. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think they did a really good job in this last episode of putting the whole crew into multiple situations where you're like, well, how the fuck are we going to get out of this? And then they got to work together or come up with some crazy plan. That was pretty much the entire episode, is situations like that, back to back to back, right?
Right.
By the way, motherfucker being in an underwater situation like that, that's not something I want to be involved with. No, thank you.
No, not at all.
But yeah,
especially with that giant monster in there trying to come after you.
Yeah, you know how I feel about big creatures underwater in deep.
The thalassophobia kicking in.
That's what it is. I was trying to remember what that shit was called last week. It's thalassophobia.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was pretty cool. I'm trying to. Oh, so, you know, what did you think when old AZ was sacrificing himself to save Omega? Did you think
so? I mean, that was emotional. You know,
it was really well done.
Get emotional over a droid, you know, but his character's been around. Didn't that character start with Fives in, Clone Wars, or was it exclusively Omega?
Did it? I can't remember.
Have been just a mega experience with her, but
I can't really remember. So that's a good question. It's been a while since I've watched.
I was convinced Omega was going to get herself killed, and she was going to across. You know, at some, you know, Omega has to save everyone, and she's going to have to learn eventually. You can't save everyone. You know, and I know she's going to say you have to try, but she's going to get herself killed trying to save everyone.
Well, I can say pretty confidently that, you know, this is definitely a show, you know, aimed at a younger audience. Right. I wouldn't say it's, you know, it's definitely not as young of an audience as like Lego Star Wars or anything.
No.
I think it's pretty safe to assume that we're not going to see Omega get killed in the Bad Batch. But, you know, that's what I like about Omega, right? She's such a good kid. Like,
she will throw herself at a cause even if it is impossible.
Yeah.
You know, mission impossible.
I'll be honest with you. At Omega's age, haven't been through all that stuff. If I was in that situation with Crosshair caught underwater, might have just written that dude off, bro, and went to hang out with my cool brothers.
Yeah.
Can't say I would have done the same thing.
I don't know. I feel like she has a connection to them, and she's just kind of as hurt that Crosshair went to the other side as the rest of them are.
Well, definitely, because, you know, the whole beginning of the series, the beginning of the series, she tells them several times, like, he can't help it.
Yeah.
Like, don't be mad at him, he can't help it. Well, it turns out he can help it.
He can help it now.
Yeah. So, man, I don't, like, I knew, like, that scene where Crosshair starts aiming his sniper rifle, and they kind of make it seem like a second that he is just going to point blank blow Hunter's head off his shoulders.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that wasn't going to happen, but I was like,
oh, shit. Oh, there's damn. A second. You're like, this got dark. I like this.
Because I would imagine a Star Wars sniper rifle shot that close range would be pretty disastrous.
You would think. I'm not sure how. I mean, is it plasma? Are they plasma bolts?
Buddy, these are the things you start asking where I'm like, it's a laser, Will. It's a laser.
It's, it's not Star Trek. There are no schematics on the...
I'm sure there are. For sure, I'm sure there are.
Oh, yeah.
In the multitude of Star Wars books and blueprints and shit that have been put out. But regardless, I don't know. I don't know that you're just taking a little off the top if you shoot Hunter that close with a sniper rifle. And then, you know, the last scene, well, not the very last scene. We already talked about that with the cloning facility or whatever the fuck it is. The last scene of the Bad Batch with them all on the landing platform.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was really well done. Like, it had a nice emotional moment. And just like you, I thought like, oh, maybe Crosshair is going to go along, but he sure as fuck didn't. And they just left his ass. What's he going to do? Is he going to call the Empire 1-800-COLLECT? And be like, hey, guys. And for a second there, I was like, oh, so the Empire just assumes that the Bad Batch are dead, right? So they're going to start off season 2 able to lay low and not worry about the Empire. But then I was also under the assumption that Crosshair was going to go with them.
Dude, what if when Crosshair comes back, they consider him a deserter and they kick him out? Because didn't they say they were looking for any excuse to get rid of clones? Like, didn't they specifically?
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
they were trying to wash out clones.
That's kind of what I'm wondering. Like, in season 2, do you think Crosshair gets picked up by the Empire and immediately snitches on the Bad Batch and is like, nah, they're alive, right?
I mean, I think he either gets picked up by the Empire or on that little platform, like, tries to signal for the Empire. They pick him up and they're like, oh, you deserted. You're out. You know, fuck, we don't need you. Or he gets picked up by bounty hunters or something and becomes a bounty hunter. It'd be cool to see him, you know, he like try to be loyal to the Empire, and the Empire be like, "Nah, we're done with you."
Yeah, I wonder.
I think he's too valuable. I'm sure he's, you know, he's a Empire loyal clone. They'll take his loyalty.
And he's a badass.
Yeah,
like he's a shithead, but he's
make
a badass.
A cool bounty hunter. Like that sniping ability as a bounty hunter.
I agree, but I honestly feel like with how much he established that he wants to be part of the Empire.
He wants to rule, yeah.
That he's going to at least attempt that. Whether the Empire takes him in, they'd be kind of stupid if they didn't, is the question. My big question is like...
I don't know. They're pretty stupid.
Do you think... Do you think they'll... I still wondered if he will... rat out the Bad Batch, or will he tell them like, no, they all died on Kamino?
He'll totally rat them out, so he has an excuse to hunt them down. Like that's his whole existence, is to hunt them down.
Yeah, I guess if he's like, they're gonna run into each other, it's still going to be a story thing.
It's not that small of a galaxy. I mean, it's not that big of a galaxy.
Yeah, apparently not. Because people we know just be turning up all the time.
Everywhere.
So, yeah, I'm interested to see. If I had to guess, I kind of feel like season two may start where we don't see Crosshair for a little bit. And just sort of focus on the Bad Batch and what they're up to. And
I'm
then
okay
he'll
with
show,
that.
He'll show up at, you know, some fucking... opportune time to shit in everybody's cereal.
I'm a total buzzkill. Put my cigarette out in your breakfast cereal.
They should rename Crosshair to Buzzkill. I like that. That's the missing
you
number
buy
of the
death
Bad Batch.
Sticks? Fuck you, I don't want to sell you death sticks.
So we were talking about it earlier. We got a Star Wars Visions trailer this week.
That was so good, man. Oh. It was so good.
Man,
it got me so hyped.
So excited. September 22nd can't come fast enough, man. I cannot wait for Star Wars Visions. What I really liked is they released the Japanese language and the English dub for the trailer, so you could check them both out.
Yeah.
And I mean... I'm so stoked that they're doing a Japanese language version and a dub. I just think that shit's really cool.
The dub sounds good.
The dub does sound good. They released an English voice cast, and I don't have it here in front of me. But there's some fucking heavy hitters on there. David Harbour.
Really?
Is part of the cast.
One sounded like Billy Crudup just right off, but that it just kind of sounded like Ashitaka. But I bet he's not. One of them.
That might have been David Harbour, actually.
Might have been David.
So yeah, I'm really excited, man. Like, I think we probably mentioned this when we first started talking about Visions, but to me, they're really nailing a wide variety of different anime styles with this, right?
I think this is just proving the point of this is why you let creative people do Star Wars, you know, their way.
Yes.
Even if it's not canon.
Oh, no. Perfect. I think it's the perfect approach. Like,
this is why you let them have it, because it's turning out awesome, is what it seems
it
like.
It seems like it, man. And, you know, even so, you know, as someone who likes anime, I definitely have my preferred anime. You know what I mean?
Of course you do. Of course we all do, you know.
Like as far as like tone even. Like I'm not big into, you know, the more sort of kiddie type anime.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also not into like the super extreme anime either, you know.
No host club for you, huh?
No Overfiend or whatever that shit is called. That's not my style. But even the ones that are presented in a style of anime that maybe wouldn't necessarily be my thing look really fucking cool in this.
Yeah.
So I think the missing ingredient was Star Wars all along.
That's what it needed.
I cannot wait. You know, we got because the behind the scenes thing we got, you know, we got a lot of character artwork and screenshots and stuff, but to see it in motion, to hear it with the voice acting, you know, to see like the character that's going to be in Ronin pulling out his lightsaber and shit and seeing like that crazy lightsaber contraption that the one character had that like,
it's like an umbrella basically.
Yeah. Like, that's what I want.
I can only imagine the cool samurai gadgety lightsaber weapons.
Yeah, and then like the whole opening where they're like, you know, a long time ago this warrior came by our village and left this here, and then like it's this ornate box with a lightsaber hilt in it, and I cannot wait for this.
I remember someone, we've guarded this for centuries, and it's basically like a red lightsaber crystal, I think, or something.
I couldn't tell if it was that or if it was the hilt, because everything is all like all it's all sort of intercut, the different ones, and then like, yeah, I cannot wait. It's gonna be
tight,
fucking
dude.
Cool, it's man.
Tight.
I will say the one thing is, like, I could pick out certain ones, like, you know, because we got the synopsises and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I could pick out certain ones like Tatooine Rhapsody. That one's an easier one to pick out. And like, how cool did the Mos Espa arena look?
Looks great. Looks fantastic.
Yeah.
The one with the old man Sith,
mm-hmm.
that one's going to be good. I can tell. That one's going to be kick-ass.
I think that's the one that the Star Wars Ronin novel is a takeoff of, I think.
The one that's like Master and... something.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Thought it was called something like that.
And then, you know, obviously, what is it? Lopin Ocho, I believe, is what one of them is called. Lopin Ocho, maybe.
The little droids?
No, I think that's... shit. It just slipped my mind. It was on the tip of my tongue. But it slipped away like a fart in the wind. But yeah, there's... Oh, man. Just give this shit to me now. Can I get a screener?
Hawes said, look, I will just put it in front of my eyeballs and I'll sleep. And I'll prop my eyeballs open and watch it while I sleep. And when I wake up, all the time.
You could trust me with it, man. You just let me know. Man. Anyways, I've watched that trailer like a dozen times since it's come out.
I know you have.
And I cannot. Wait, I hope
it's gonna be good.
I hope it gets like a lot of views. I hope it's really well received. And this is the occasional thing we get, like, you know, Star Wars Visions 2 and a Star Wars Visions 3, and they bring in different studios and different talent and stuff, because there is no lack of talent that could produce some really kick-ass anime. But yeah. Come on, Visions.
Come on. Come on.
You know, like, what I thought was really cool about the trailer, before we move on, and I think myself and a lot of other people are going into expecting this to be sort of, for lack of a better term, alien feeling, right? Where it's going to be Star Wars, but through a different lens, with different designs and different takes. But even in the trailer, we see some familiar stuff. Like, there's that shot of the Star Destroyer. We talked about the Mos Espa pod racing arena that you see. So, seeing that stuff that we're super familiar with in anime-style animation. Oh, boy.
They're all going to be Star Wars-flavored dishes, but they're going to be completely different dishes.
Yeah, with some ingredients that you recognize.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, I fully endorse what they're doing with Visions, and I cannot wait. And then, you know, this year for Star Wars is sure hitting a lot of fucking things I like, buddy.
It's just it's ramping up for something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting better and better and better and better.
You know, interestingly enough, there have been a lot of reports this week about the different cast members of Obi-Wan working up, like wrapping up their time working on Obi-Wan. So it seems like they're getting close to being done shooting that. And then you have like Carl Weathers, who at a convention or an interview or something this week said that Mandalorian starts shooting next month, Mandalorian season 3. So it really seems like Obi-Wan is finishing up. And I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I think Cassian is still going.
Mm.
And I could have these numbers wrong, but I believe Obi-Wan is 6 episodes and Cassian is 10. So that would make sense. And plus, given what we saw in that behind the scenes look on Cassian, like, they're really going for the full on Star Wars movie experience, it seems, with that series.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like, and this is different than I felt earlier in the year, I think we might see Obi-Wan first and then Cassian next year, given that Obi-Wan seems like it's already finishing up. It's only 6 episodes. Cassian's still shooting and is 10 episodes. I do feel like Obi-Wan might come first next year. I'm really excited for both, but I thought it would have been reverse order.
I'm super excited for Obi-Wan.
Yeah, man. So, well, buddy, do you want to hear from some of our friends, some of our Moisture Farmer buddies?
I do. I saw this cool tweet that I was going to share with you,
mm-hmm.
Just because it's relevant to the restaurant. But after that, and we'll do some emails after that if you want.
Yeah.
This tweet is from a guy named Rahul Kohli, and it says, Star Wars has and will always be a restaurant. We all love eating there. We don't like every dish on the menu, and that's okay. You're not supposed to. Order what you like, avoid what you don't, and don't worry about what others are having. And don't be a dick to the staff.
Yeah.
I like that tweet. I like
it's a good tweet. And then some people make their fucking careers on YouTube out of being dicks to the staff, so...
Yeah, and I was like, that was the important part. I was like, look, don't be mean to the people that make Star Wars. Like, that we want them to keep doing this. We love them.
Yeah. And they don't even have a fucking inhibitor chip in their head to blame it on.
Yeah, they can't blame it on.
He can have it.
He can have it.
All right, let's hear from our friend.
Kia D. Kia D. Kia D. Cockhead. The only Jedi master who can crash box Giddy Cockhead. Running around slaying bitches with his cockhead. He's a big Saurian stud. He loves to split chicks with his bud. Giddy Cockhead. To stroke his cone and suck on his balls. Giddy Cockhead. What you gonna do when he comes on you now? He's a Jedi Council stooge, but he'll be pumping spooge tomorrow. Cockhead! Blue Herb! Cockhead! Harsberger! Cockhead! Will Witten! Cockhead! Goose Payne! Cockhead! G-Money! Cockhead! King Tom! Cockhead! Joe! Cockhead! Kia D! Cockhead! Cockhead!
All righty. First up, we have Brutus Tom Chansky, king of all Toms, the delightful web administrator. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey there, Hawes and Will. So there's a lot of good stuff out and going on this week, but the thing that's got me going in a good way, it's all rumor and speculation right now, but I guess there's a story going around that John Boyega is going to be starring in a Finn series on Disney Plus. And love it for a number of reasons. Yeah, I love a movie, but I don't, at the same time, if it's bigger than a movie because, or longer than a movie, I'm good with that. But, you know, I love the character and the idea of Finn. I think Boyega is a great actor, and Star Wars is lucky to have him. And You know, because he wasn't part of the whole Skywalker story, obviously the sequel trilogy wasn't focused on him, so I'd like to see more of him. And I think the story says something about how it's going to be, the timeline's going to be split, some while he was in the New Order, and some after Rise of Skywalker. And I think everyone is thinking Jedi Finn. Would love to see that. I hope that's what he's doing. Can they do that story without involving Rey? Because I don't know. I'd be fine with it. I want to see what they come up with and how they do it, obviously. But it would just feel weird, you know, without having Rey there. Because you would think he would be learning from her. But at the same time, maybe he's already a master and been doing his own training. Another idea I had was, what if they made Finn, like, Chancellor of the new Republic, or in charge, and in, you know, this, what if the story was about something different that we're not expecting? I think there's some potential there. And is there anything, you know, branching out that you can think of them doing? Anyway, just some thoughts. And as always, I'd love to hear your guys' opinions. Thanks for the great podcast, and I will talk with you later.
Yeah, I forgot to bring this up. Well, I didn't necessarily forget to bring it up as, like, in rushing to try and get everything together for the show. I couldn't find the article about this. But yeah, that's a rumor that started going around in the last couple of days, was that they're apparently, like King Tom said, working on some sort of Finn-focused Disney Plus series.
That would be great.
And that he said, like he said, it was going to be, from what the people that reported this heard, it would be like sort of a split story, talking about like him being, you know, his early years and him being kidnapped and forced into the First Order, and then a post Episode 9 story. And when I first heard that, my thought was, well, will the two sides of the story be related in a way? Meaning like, okay, so we see him kidnapped and taken from his family and forced to join the First Order. And then in the quote-unquote present day story, post-Episode 9, could we maybe see Finn out on some sort of mission to free other First Order like folks that have been enlisted against their will? Meaning like, so they beat the First Order, right? Or the Final Order, or whatever the fuck you want to call it, at the end of Rise of Skywalker. But like, there's still going to be First Order folks out there. They didn't wipe out every single Star Destroyer or whatever, or liberate every Stormtrooper. Could we see like Finn leading some sort of stormtrooper rebellion against the remnants of the First Order, up and do like cleanup duty, and along the way sort of refining his force powers? So like, maybe he has been training with Rey a little bit, and something happens to make him go out on this mission, right? So yeah, maybe he's not like fully 100% trained as a Jedi, but he's, you know, he's on the way. And I could see that being pretty interesting. And one way I like that, because it also leaves open, you know, the possibility for an Episode 10. So I don't know. That's kind of what I thought when I read the article, is like maybe the two sides of the story, the pre-Episode 7 and the post-Episode 9 stories, are connected in that way.
It would make perfect sense. And you could cameo the other people in there, yeah, you know, to hype up. Maybe they get their own series, you know.
Well, that's what
there's a Poe Dameron series and a Rey Skywalker series.
That's what I was going to say, is regardless, I don't see how you do this series without some sort of appearance from those characters. I think at the very minimum, you need like Rey, Poe, Rose, Jana, and like, I just don't see how you it would be kind of weird if just the whole time Finn's out on this adventure post Episode 9 and there's no side of Rey or Poe or anything?
I don't think so, man. I mean, sometimes that happens. You know, that happens. I feel like it happens a lot once the war is over. You know,
well, people yeah, go but
separate ways and do different things when they don't have to soldier.
I don't think it's not. It's out of the realm of possibility or unrealistic to for that to happen. But in the terms of Star Wars storytelling, like not to have any of those characters show up at all, I think would be kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I would hope that. I don't know. I'd hope that they would be open to.
Yeah. And I don't mean
call
like
Charlie from Lost. He'll be in your old Beauregard.
That's all right. That's okay.
He said you can stay lost.
Think he can go hang out in some caves and catch spiders or something. He's got this fucking show on one of the, maybe it was Travel Channel or Discovery, I don't know, but this motherfucker was handling some bugs and I was like, no thank you, no thank you sir, no thank you. And he was like, look at this giant spider, and I was like, I don't want to look at it, I'd rather not.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Let's hear from Mr. 100, Kobe.
Hey, Hawes and Will. It's your boy, Kobe, a.k.a. Mr. 100. I've got a quick Star Wars question for you this week. And then after that, you know, I got to hit you up with the classic Pick a Concert series. Real easy, quick Star Wars question this week for you. Now that everything is wrapped up with the Clone Wars, has been wrapped up for a while, I guess, what is your favorite arc or standalone episode? Doesn't have to be an arc in the Clone Wars. My favorite's definitely got to be the very last arc we got with Ahsoka and Maul in Order 66. I mean, just nothing beats that out. Maybe that's just recency bias, but I think that's my all-time favorite. So what's your guys's, also Rebels, if you want to throw that in there, favorite arc and or episode. Yeah, pretty easy Star Wars question this week. Just thought I'd give you a nice little one right down the plate. Just an easy one to knock out. Pick a concert. This one is going to be a little bit interesting, a little bit different than usual. So first up, concert one, is going to be Judas Priest, Katy Perry, the Deftones, and then the last two of each concert are kind of the goofy, silly ones. The last one of concert one is Kanye West, but his auto-tune dial is broken, and it just does whatever it wants. It goes way up and way down, and way too much auto-tune and way too little auto-tune, and it's just all over the place. So that's concert one. I'll repeat that when I get done with concert two. Concert two is going to be Iron Maiden, Lady Gaga, System of a Down, and then the Foo Fighters to close out. But the only thing they play is The Best of You, and they play it on a loop, so it goes, the best, the best, the best, the best, the best, over and over again for like an hour. So, I'll repeat that one more time. Judas Priest, Katy Perry, Deftones, and Kanye with the broken auto-tune dial. That's concert one. Concert two, Iron Maiden, Lady Gaga, System of a Down, and Foo Fighters with Best of You on loop. As always, you guys are the best. Have a good one. Peace out.
Yeah, this one's super easy.
It's
for me.
Concert two all day.
Concert two. I like every band on the every artist on the bill. I like.
Right,
Maiden.
That's a great concert. I like all the.
Yeah. Love
and
Lady
the
Gaga.
Funny thing, it could have been a shitty lineup, and I would have picked the second one just so I didn't have to listen to Kanye West.
I get it. He's done some real stinker things in the last couple of years.
He's a psycho.
I mean, so yeah, the second one's easy for me because I like Maiden. I love Lady Gaga. I've never gotten to see her live. I would love to see System of a Down. It's been a long time since I've seen them. And I love the Foo Fighters, and I could just leave. Like, I'm not going to sit there for the whole hour while Dave Grohl repeats
Dave
that
Grohl
one.
If Dave Grohl seems that same thing on repeat, I'll watch him.
I'll be like, you know what? This is fucking unique.
Just wait for him to run out of breath, because he will. He'll pass out at some point.
So what was the first band? Judas Priest.
Judas Priest.
Katy Perry. Who was after Katy Perry?
I don't remember.
Shit. I can't remember either. I just remember there just not being a whole lot alike at all.
Like, Nickelback.
No, it wasn't Nickelback. I like Judas Priest all right. They're not. I would rather see Iron Maiden than Judas Priest, but Judas I like Judas Priest all right. Now, as far as favorite Clone Wars arcs or episodes, it's hard not to say the Siege of Mandalore because it's so fucking cool. I mean, it's Ahsoka, it's Mandalorians, it's Maul. You know what I mean? It's so many cool fucking Clone Wars elements in one. There's also an arc I really like. It's a sillier arc. Is the one that's Mace Windu and Jar Jar out on the mission
I've
together.
Seen that, yeah.
And it's really good. It's really good and fun. I also like Bombad Jedi. Like, I don't know, man. I like that arc too, where Jar Jar pretends to be a Jedi to rescue everybody.
My favorite is when Yoda communes with, like,
that's what I was going to say.
Force beings.
Yoda's vision quest arc at the end of season 6 is really good.
I really like that.
There's that real sad moment where he's like hanging out at the Jedi temple and Dooku's there and he's like still a good guy and like that's really well done. And then just a lot of the Mandalorian stuff obviously is going to be
And Rebels, my favorite arc is at the very end, you know, where Ahsoka fights Vader in that temple.
Oh, and the end of season 2.
Yeah, and the world between worlds and all that shit.
I really like the arc in Rebels where Sabine gets the Darksaber and then Kanan is training her how to use it and her family, like all the stuff with her family comes into play. Go figure. More Mandalorian stuff, but that's my favorite Rebels.
I think you like Mandalorians, buddy.
You might be on to something. I don't want to step out of line, but I think you might be on to something, my friend.
I think this guy likes Mandalorians.
I think this guy likes Mandalorians.
Check this guy. Check the guy. Hey, guys. Look, get a load of this guy. He loves Mandalorians.
All right. Next up, we have a voicemail from Neil.
Hey, Oz and Will, it's your boy Neil giving you a call from Chicago. So I got some great news today. They just put me in charge of my department at work, which is really cool.
Nice.
Definitely best thing that's happened around my birthday in a long time. So, yeah. But it came up with a good question based on that. So as we've seen in multiple times in, you know, Legends as well as canon, you know, you see younger Sith rising up and taking over in replacement of their masters. And my question is, if you were a rising Sith, what would your plot be to take over and replace your master? You know, would you strike him down in battle? Would you take him out in his sleep, you know, like Sidious did to Plagueis? You know, what would that event be? Come up with something good. I think that there's a lot of room for creativity here. So, yeah, how would you take out your master? Thanks again for the great podcast. Have a great weekend, boys.
How would you take out your master, Will?
If I were a Sith, I would remain a pupil long enough so that I could accurately assess his weaknesses and his flaws, his routines, and I would try to figure out his master plan and what his real intentions were, and I would try to make his fulfilling of that plan his own undoing so that
you know, him trying to bring his ultimate fruition is what makes his downfall. And you try to twist it so that he does himself. he offs himself
so
through some means of his own machinations, but it was really me pulling the strings the whole time.
Okay, so I've got a few ideas, right?
Yeah.
So I would contact the cloners on Kamino. And I don't want them to develop a clone, but, you know, they're good with, like, genetic stuff.
Yeah.
I want them to develop some sort of elixir that gives my Sith master a shellfish allergy, right?
Oh.
And I slowly introduce that into his drinks. And then one night, I offer to make a nice shrimp taco spread for him.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck yeah, I love shrimp tacos. Or whatever the fucking equivalent of shrimp are in Star Wars.
Right.
And I lay it all out, and I'm like, hey, go at it, bud. Okay. And so, you know, we know how that ends. That's right. One way. Another way is I would challenge him to a martial arts duel.
Uh-huh.
And just when it seems like he's beat me, I would throw powder in his eyes and blind him.
Oh.
And then just finish him off.
Would you make him say Mate?
He wouldn't even have a chance. He would not even have a chance. He would be like, what's that word I'm supposed to say to give up? You don't have a chance, sir.
There are some interesting ways now that you've thought that I could heavily irradiate his pillow. Oof. Or perhaps put something, you know, a heavy irradiated item in his lightsaber, mm-hmm. something that he kept on him all the time. I could set a trap near an airlock and just blow him out an airlock into space.
Oof. Brutal. You know what I would do? I would gift him an exploding cock ring.
Oh, wow.
And then he goes to strap that thing on. Deet, 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 deet. And blew his dick off. Dick and one of his balls. Collateral Yikes. Damage.
Yikes. That's horrifying.
And then he's just done. Or I think maybe perhaps the ultimate betrayal would be to convince him to pronounce the word acolyte incorrectly and then let the motherfucking bad motivators hear about it.
They'll take it to him.
And then the job is done. Next thing you know, King Tom's making a fucking website with my former Sith Lord's eulogy on it.
I could just freeze him in carbonite and instead of monitoring it, just like forget about it. So that he's dead, but he's still just frozen in carbonite.
Well, I think it wouldn't be kind of in hibernation. Like, that wouldn't...
Well, I know, but, like, doesn't it take the monitoring of the computer to, like, maintain the hibernative sleep?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, then maybe that is what all those doodads on the side are for.
Because if you just dropped Han Solo off in the ocean, like, I don't know that he would ever come out of that. Like, I don't know, you know. It may take some electronics to maintain your carbonite freeze status. You're suspended.
You might be right about that. Just freeze him in carbonite and drop him in the ocean. All right. Next up, we got an email from Utah. Dougie. He asks, what are the chances we see Nala Say show up in The Mandalorian or any other Disney Plus shows? Maybe Boba Fett connection. Could be fun. What are your thoughts, Dougie? So, the main thing I like about this idea is seeing a Kaminoan on screen again. Like, that would be kind of cool.
I think The Mandalorian would be a good place for that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if they're going to continue exploring this whole
thing. Oh, shit.
Oh, what?
What if grown-up Omega bust Nala Say out, right? Like, that's the episode of The Mandalorian where grown-up Omega in her Mandalorian gear goes to bust out Nala Say.
That'd be pretty fucking sick. I like that. I like what you're saying here. I don't know what is going on, right? So you know where I sit to record.
Yes.
And to my left is our kitchen. Right. And in the kitchen, my cat Walter is sitting on the counter just staring intently at the wall. And like,
perhaps there's something there that you can't see.
What do you mean?
You know, perhaps the cat can see something that you can't.
Yeah, but like, what would that be, Will?
I don't know. Something of a spiritual nature?
Come on, I knew that's what you were going to fucking say, man.
Or something of an interdimensional nature? Perhaps there is a portal on your wall.
Next up, we got a voicemail from Josh.
Hello there, Haas and Will. This is Josh Wright. I hope you guys are doing well. I've really been enjoying the podcast. I've also really been enjoying The Bad Batch. It wasn't high on my list of things I was excited to see in Star Wars, maybe this time last year, but I've really, really loved it, and my daughters really loved it too. And it's, you know, action-packed, good characters, just fun for the whole family. So I really love the season finale, and it's got me excited about what we could see next season. So I thought I'd call in and ask you guys, my good internet buddies, what you think we'll see next season on The Bad Batch. So I have 6 items here. I humbly request that you give me what you think the chances are of seeing these 6 items in The Bad Batch Season 2. And please answer in percentages, of course, as you usually do. So, without further ado, here we go. Item number 1, Boba Fett.
Oh, 10%.
10%? See, I was convinced, Will, and you know how things go when I get convinced about something related to Boba Fett.
Yeah.
But I was convinced we were going to see Boba Fett this season, especially after they name dropped him as being the Alpha to Omega, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so, there, from what Hunter said, or I guess it was Tech, like, they were basically made at the same time. Or I mean, she was made before the rest of the clones. She's older than the clones.
She's older than the Bad Batch.
Oh, just the Bad Batch.
I believe. Yes. Okay. I think she's... Who knows? But either way, I was convinced we were going to see him this season. And, you know, maybe it sounds a little cynical, but, like, isn't that kind of... Wouldn't that have been, like, interesting marketing crossover to have Boba Fett show up in an episode and then Boba Fett is getting his own series later this year? Regardless, I was convinced. Next, I think they do run into him eventually.
Yeah. Maybe they need his help to bust out an LSA. Like, maybe they don't wait to do it in The Mandalorian. Like, she's basically their mother, you know. Omega likes to keep painting things in a family light.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that technically, you know, if they're brothers and sisters, that makes Nella say their mother.
Well, I'm going to say 40% then. Let's go next.
Item number 2, Bail Organa.
Bail Organa in Bad Batch Season 2, I'd say 0. Well, 5%.
Yeah, I'm going to go low. I'm going to say about 15% because it, so far, and this could change in season 2, but so far they don't seem super concerned with
the rebellion.
Doing a lot. So we've seen some seeds of the rebellion, right? We've seen
just what's their names? The sisters.
Well, not just them. We saw Saw Gerrera.
That's right, Saw Gerrera. And is Rex in on the there's a rebellion?
And we also saw, I'm forgetting a really important one here, Will. We saw the Martez sisters.
That's what I meant.
We saw Saw Gerrera. and we saw the Syndulas.
Yes, the Syndulas, that's right.
I don't know. Maybe we do see all the combined efforts of these people come together, and at that point we see Bale. But I still say...
He's taking care of a baby girl right now.
Yeah.
Baby. Or at least his wife is.
Clone Commander Cody.
Oh, I want to see Clone Commander Cody get his ass beat. So I'm going to say 95% just because I want to see that motherfucker.
You know what? There's a good chance that he's got his coming.
He's got some comeuppance coming his way, man.
Especially with the bad man. Yeah.
Betraying my dude Obi-Wan and shooting his big lizard pal.
Unless they're saving him for Obi-Wan. What if he comes across Commander Cody and Obi-Wan and they get...
I hope he beats the brakes off of Cody. He's like, you killed my big lizard. You don't fuck with Obi-Wan's big lizard. You know what I'm talking about? That poor lizard. That's the sound that lizard makes when it gets shot off the wall by coward-ass Cody shooting that big lizard in the back.
He didn't even do it himself. He had a tank doing it.
I got problems with Cody, and it's because of that big lizard, man.
Cody's down. Cody. Probably let's say 50%.
I kind of like your idea a little better of seeing him in the Obi-Wan show, and Obi-Wan just rings his damn bell. He's like, this is for my big lizard.
Item number 4, Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah. 60%.
Yeah, like 60 or 70.
Just with Rex being involved.
Because if you've seen Trace and Rafa already.
Well, and Rex. And
Rex.
Yeah, I'd say somewhere in there.
Item number 5. What are the chances of seeing any reference to the events or characters of the High Republic, even if those references are just like an Easter egg?
I say probably 0. I mean, maybe some
Unless
sort of...
it's a Mandalorian, 0.
It just... I don't
think it's a thing yet. I mean, people want it to be a thing. It's just not,
Well, I mean...
The High Republic hasn't caught on with mainstream media other than the novels, right? Like, there's not a show.
Yeah, I mean, the show is still a little ways away. The Acolyte. So...
There you go. Look at that.
Oh, I've nailed it twice tonight. Did I not get it right?
Bring attention to it the first time.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't know.
And finally, number 6. What are the chances we see Grogu in season 2? All right. Thanks for your answers, guys. Like I said before, I really love the podcast. I hope you guys take care of yourselves. May the force be with you, and always keep it clean.
Oh,
I assume you've been keeping it clean.
Kept it clean before. Still keeping it clean.
Scrubby rash. Keeping it so clean.
Kept it clean before. Still keeping it clean.
Been keeping it clean since 1984.
Yes sir. So Grogu's a...
I just doubt it.
Well, it's an interesting question. Like, okay, so what do we know about our boy Grogu? We know the Empire wants him for experiments. The question is, how long has the Empire been after him? We know he was in the Jedi Temple during Order 66 and was saved. Somebody got him out of there. Question is, who got him out of there? Is the Bad Batch where we get those questions answered? Or...
I don't know. Because somebody's got to get him out, and he's got to be somewhere
for
all the way through till after Return of the Jedi.
Right, and that's quite a long time. So what was he up to? I mean, you have to assume he was, whoever saved him just had him in hiding or whatever for those 20 plus years. He will have had to have
been there for like 30, 40 years.
And 20 plus. But still, a long time. So closer to 30, I guess. Either way, I don't. Is the Bad Batch where we get those answers?
I mean, that's a probability of 75.
Such a popular character, like you could have him in the Bad Batch,
and it would be perfectly reasonable.
And you're doing all this stuff with the Kaminoans and the scientist wearing the same uniform as Dr. Pershing. I'm going to say 60%. I'm still going higher, you know, but I just don't. Because those are questions that we have to find out the answer to eventually. Right. I don't know that we necessarily need to know like what he was up to in between Order 66 and when we see him in the first episode of The Mandalorian. But a question we need answered is, who the fuck saved that little dude from the Jedi temple?
Well, to me, you know, it implies, you know, he's had some training, right? It doesn't seem like he's had any in the last 30 years.
Right. All right. Next up, we got an email from Sam. Howdy, Halls and Will. I hope you fellas had a nice week. Halls, have you dived into the new wave of The High Republic? I've started to, because I'm going to be doing a weekly show on Patreon about it. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on the new books, because I feel like the stakes of the series are way higher now. Are you enjoying the era so far? And how do you think we will look back at this initiative in 10 years or so? Personally, I think this will be like the Clone Wars series, and people will be so in love with characters from The High Republic, they won't know anything different. But it may take The Acolyte, number 3, to really push the era to the forefront. Also, I'm not sure if you saw Alex from Star Wars Explained's video this week about Yoda and Yaddle. Yaddle comes back in a new High Republic book with a very small cameo. In that cameo, she speaks totally normally and not the way Yoda does. I know Alex had his own opinions on it, but I figured that you both may have a fun theory for the differences between Yoda and Yaddle's speech patterns. Thanks, fellas, and have a great week, Sam. So, as for the first part of the email, like how it's received, I think is really, it's one of those things that's up to the writers. Stick the landing through these next two phases, which is going to be quite a lot of stuff, but already you're seeing people very attached to different characters, to different plot lines, so on and so forth. So the ball's in their court. And if it continues on the course that it's on right now, then I think things will be good. And as far as a larger feeling on the era, then it's all up to the show. It's all up to Acolyte, because that's really going to be the main introduction for the largest amount of audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
To this era of Star Wars. So I think the chances of it being well regarded are pretty high. The thing is just about everything in Star Wars has its own little subset of passionate fan base, and I think the High Republic will be no different. Now, as far as the difference between Yaddle and Yoda's speech patterns, I don't know, man. I don't know that I have a theory. Do you, Will?
I do, and it's very simple. It just depends on where you're raised. Perhaps he was raised on a planet where inverted sentence structure is the norm. You know, that's just the way he learned to speak.
I kind of wonder, like, maybe that is the norm for their species, and he was with them longer than Yaddle was. Maybe Yaddle was brought to the Jedi temple earlier than Yoda. like in her lifeline, not in Star Wars timeline. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe that could be what it is.
It's possible.
It's kind of a combination theory of like.
It's a very simple explanation, but yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
I don't know that you need some.
Because you learn to speak where you grow up, but you know.
And if you want me to go like the behind the scenes reason, you make them different to keep Yoda unique in that way. And also another reason.
I was just saying the crazy old wise, guy speaks in riddles. That's a very like fantasy
trope,
medieval trope. Yeah.
And another reason is behind the scene reason why you establish that not every creature of that species talks like Yoda is because they're going to have Grogu talk eventually. And they probably don't want him to have him talk like Yoda as well.
Yoda. Yeah.
All righty. Now, we got one more voicemail, and then that's it for the evening. This is from our buddy, Jim.
Good evening to one of the cleanest dicks in the land.
My man.
Will Witten.
Oh, you son of a...
How you doing, Oz?
Did you hear this?
Good evening to one of the cleanest dicks in the land, Will Witten.
Yes, sir.
And how you doing, Oz? I have been showing my coworker some shows at lunchtime on my phone. We've been watching them, and like I showed him The Boys and Loki, and he's been pumped up about Star Wars because of me, pretty much talking about the books and stuff like that. And he went back and he watched the whole nonagy, all 9 movies, and even Rogue One. He hasn't watched Solo yet. But then we started watching The Mandalorian. We got through all 2 seasons. And then at the end, he said, I was like, what do you think? And he says, oh, man, I loved it. It's the shit. It's even better than all the movies. And I'm like, gut punch. I mean, Mandalorian is some of the best shit ever. But somehow it just knocked me in the gut. And I know Hawes was telling that story about the one guy who's just like, great shirt. Yeah, those originals are the only ones worth the damn and all that good stuff. What other gut punches can you guys remember over the years where you thought you were vibing with somebody in the Star Wars and then they just throw you that terrible hot take? But all right, gentlemen, have a great evening. Good night, the green.
Ooh. Do you have any stories of... By the way, Jim, I think you forget who plays the voicemails and shit on this show. It's not Will. Will's not in charge of getting your voicemail on the show, bro. So you compliment his squeaky clean dick all you want. See what happens, huh?
It's the cleanest. Huh? I have the cleanest.
People are pushing me. Well,
people are
pushing me lately here.
they're pushing me. Pushing your clean dick and your dirty dick button.
They're pushing my speech impediment button. They're pushing my dick button. I'm having some issues here, Will, and starting to wonder, was this all worth it? 314 episodes of trying to be a good guy in the Star Wars putting community for this? There. Put myself out there. Huh? You know what I mean? Anyways.
It's just you're taking your lumps and getting your ass beat.
Do you have any stories of bad Star Wars takes? That you've heard in person?
One time when I was living in Huntsville, Alabama, I was very young. I spent my summers at the country day school. Mom had to teach, and instead of going to summer camp or something, it was basically like summer camp, but it was this little tiny school. And there were a bunch of smart kids, and they played the Star Wars card game, trading card game. But they also played Star Wars out on the playground. And I came up against this one kid, and not against him, but was like, oh, I just cut your hand off because you were holding your lightsaber with 2 hands, and that's why Luke's got his hand cut off. And I was like, no, like it was a sword fight. He just got his hand, not because he didn't have 2 hands. You don't have to have both hands on the lightsaber at all times. He's like, yes, you did. That's why. Yes, he did. That's why he got his hand cut off.
Oh.
And I was like, ooh, you and I are not going to agree
on anything.
This thing here. Like, we are seeing different movies, I guess, because or I'm just not, you know, maybe I'm sure he read a book. And there was probably an EU book that was a partial explanation of something. You know, maybe he was technically right at the time.
But no, I was like, he wasn't. I was fuck like, that no, guy. Yeah.
And anytime someone's like, "Oh, Boba Fett's a bitch," he doesn't. I was like, "Oh, we're God. Not gonna. Oh, we're God. Not gonna agree on no, much."
I don't. Please, I don't want to get into this with you, stranger.
When someone says, "Oh, it's stupid that Darth Maul came back," I'm like, "Oh, all right, okay, all right, that's fine."
So,
or you know,
I've got two. So one, it has a bit of a familiar or a similar origin to yours. So I went to this daycare slash summer care place when I was a kid. When I mean I was a kid, this is like fifth grade. We went to this place called Eastwood Hills. They had a pool and stuff, and they watched a lot of kids. And I became friends with this one kid who was sort of into geekier stuff. He liked the X-Men animated show. This was like in the height of that. And he also liked Star Wars. Well, you know, high school comes around and I lose contact with this guy. And later we become friends on Facebook. And he messages me after The Force Awakens and is like, "What'd you think of it?" And I was like, "Oh, I thought it was awesome. I'm all fucking hyped. It was great. Blah, blah, blah." And he was like, "Yeah, it was okay. If you want to read, if you want some good sci-fi, I can suggest some books to you." And I was like, "Okay, Mr. Fucking Cool. All right." Didn't think anything about it. Then 2 years later, Last Jedi comes out, and I make a post on my Facebook about, "Oh, I'm going to see The Last Jedi. I'm super excited." And this dude sends me the cringiest fucking Facebook message talking about how bad it is. And, "Oh no, we're back to the prequel. Like, this is just as bad as the prequels." And just ranting and raving. And so that was the end of our Facebook friendship. I was like, "I don't need this dude hopping up in my messenger being a fucking tool."
Yeah.
And by the way, this was the kid. This same kid was always like that. Like, if you liked something, he always liked something that he thought was cooler. You know what I mean? Like,
let me tell you one, that thing that you like is lame and the one
exactly.
that I like better.
That's exactly who this kid was. Always who this kid was.
That's cool that you like that, but it's just not as cool as this.
Yes. So,
you like Star Trek? It's not as cool as Battlestar Galactica.
This kid was the kid that always did shit like that. Now, my second one is a little more recent. So one time we had our internet went out, and it wasn't one of the situations where they could just fix it over the phone. They had to send somebody out, and the kid they sent out was super cool. Like, he saw some of my collection and he was like, "Oh, I love Star Wars. Do you like anime?" I talked about anime. Real young kid, like, you know, probably 19 or 20 something. And he was like super into Doctor Who and was real excited about the upcoming Doctor change that was going on that they had announced and stuff. Right. And just had this really nice conversation with this fucking cable guy, basically. And then a week later, we start having the same problem. And the night and day difference between people they sent to our house could not be more apparent. Because the second guy comes in, sees my case that my Hot Toys are in, and he starts looking at, like, the shelf that's got my Rey figures on it. And he goes, "How much do these toys cost?" And I was like, "Well, you know, they're sort of higher-end Star Wars collectibles." And he goes, "Well, I assume you got these two for free." And I was like, "No, I bought those." "Well," and he goes, "'cause who in their right mind would buy anything of that character?" And I was like, "Fuck, man. Fuck, man. Just fix my internet and get the fuck out of my house."
Yeah.
Ugh. Had this fucking mental image of banging him over the head with a cast iron pan while he's bent over fucking checking the cable or whatever it was. Then I gotta have Jesse help me hide the body.
Yeah, and then you start stabbing him. Like, "Don't talk shit about my figures.
Stop it. Stop being an asshole." So yeah, those are two fucking more recent hot takes. One from a dude that I had never met before in my life and never seen since, and one from a dude I was friends with from like 5th to 7th grade or something like that. So I think that does it for this week, buddy. Thanks for recording with me.
Dude, thanks for recording with me.
Hey guys, if you haven't already, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps us out. If you enjoy our theme song, please be sure to check out the band that was kind enough to provide the music, their Stoned Cobra. And if you haven't already, check out my newish video game podcast with our buddy Steve. It's called High Potion. You can find it wherever you find your podcasts. And until next week, we got Disney Gallery : The Mandalorian to talk about next week. Now, after that,
movie film for theaters.
We will see where things go until Visions come out. We'll be doing episodes. I just hope we have shit to talk about. Anyways.
Maybe they'll drop some good news.
Yeah. We got some good news. We'll see you guys next week. This has been Blue Harvest. I'm Halls Burkhart.
And I'm Will Witten.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with all of you.
May the Force be with us.